Hey guys, welcome to a podcast. And I think it feels a little bit strange after so much time, you know, just revisiting this and coming back to it. But lately we have been getting quite a bit of questions from just people that we know, etc., what we are up to, what we are doing, etc. And kind of have been chatting with Justin recently that maybe it's about time for us to like come back, record another podcast or two, just updating about our learnings from our own growth curve. Just because some of you maybe already remember this, but about 2 years ago, we decided we wanted to start our own e-commerce brand, and we started it. And the journey has been wild, right? In a sense, it's been amazing. Basically, we set the brand with a goal to hit 100 million a year. And to be honest, it's been up and down. But in general, it's going really well. Right now, we're at about multiple eight-figure mark, etc. But at the same time, like, in all this period, we had a lot of challenges and a lot of learnings, a lot of like understandings how to improve a business and how to, in general, scale another business or just in general, what you would be facing as you're growing your own brand. So that's kind of what we want to talk today in general. We probably are going to split this podcast in a couple of parts. First part is going to cover preparation for business, how we launched like first year and basically how we went from zero to 10 mil in the first year. And the second one is going to cover basically exactly where we are right now, where we closed the business, so to say, to this month, basically, which means second year and scaling upwards from 10 mil to multiple eight-figure level.
Exactly. it's definitely been some time. We, you know, internally, we have a lot of conversations as one, but it definitely it's been just, about a couple of years in a way. But definitely time flies and there's a lot of learnings, you know, where you could even like talk for, I guess, an hour or two, just what we did before even starting. There was a pretty long preparation, even like we could split almost like every 3 or 6 months and like find a lot of things to talk about. But we have, as I said already, like certain topics prepared, what we're going to cover. So I guess without further ado, we can just like jump right into that and just like start talking about what's been happening and what happened already some time ago.
Good. So I think, you know, everything really literally started from choosing the business model. And I think with us, you know, it's been quite an interesting situation because over years we scaled a lot of clients' businesses to 20, 30, 40 mil, even 50 mil. And the problem with that, what we saw, a lot of these businesses, they do burnout at a certain point, you know, they start collapsing and are usually not able to break past that, you know, 30, 50 mil mark. And when we were starting our own business, you know, we really started with the goal of how do we get to that 100 mil a year? How do we create a business model that's capable to get there? And honestly, I spent, 1.5 years on just thinking about, you know, what are the things that really yields to creating this kind of business that is able to get to 100 mil a year.
I was doing another talk with a friend of mine, and eventually when I reflected on what we're doing today, like in general, personal life and so on, I think what's interesting, everything goes in stages, and I don't think we would have achieved what we have achieved today without firstly going through, you know, what we did on our own, then, you know, going to agency, doing things with agency and so on, going through like different stages there and et cetera. But I think everything comes in stages, and you naturally need to go through them in order to get somewhere or to the places. I think when we worked and we talked with quite a few consultants as well, and some people that we hired, some people that, we wanted to maybe like bring on the board or so. I think what everyone said it again and again is just like our approach in general for this whole business. It's been very strategic and logical. It was not just like, oh yeah, just let's do this and so on. It's been very like we had a very strategic approach, and that whole approach came from what we have seen and all the struggles that the businesses had, and knowing those struggles helped us to choose something that we would have less struggles in some areas, like along the way. So maybe like it's not been that big of a struggle to scale the business if everything really pans out on what we researched upon and so on. But of course, it would be like other struggles, like business-wise, like operational-wise. We'll talk more about it, other matters and so on. But part of it is we knew that, and we chose that intentionally because that is a barrier of entry for other competition too. So we chose that very intentionally. And I think what was, it was just like interesting for us. Like we have seen a couple of, you know, larger businesses doing it in a similar way. And we'll talk about more. We're talking more about the high ticket products and so on. So it's not like a product up to like $100 or $200 or $500. So no, we're talking about thousands. So it's very different, but at the same time, very interesting, because what we had in mind at the very beginning, what we have seen on a couple of occasions, I guess the interest us, first of all, and challenged the way we were thinking about brands like that. So in a way, it was very intentional, and that's why I said, like, I think we couldn't have achieved really what we have achieved if we hadn't really gone and done a lot of these things before, because we chose and we made decisions very intentionally. So it was not like that we don't know. Like, there's a lot of things that we didn't know, but I think eventually over years you start identifying, and I see that in every like department, in every category and so on. You start identifying how the business operates, like, what are usually the same issues that they would face in the up to a certain level, like up to usually like your revenue or people. And again, like we had a consultant regarding that. That's why we were like more cautious about it than so on. But yeah, it's very interesting, I think, from that perspective. And a lot of people see that our approach was very different. And you know, step by step is just like everything that we had in mind. It's like it's been, in a way, turning out the way we expected. It's not that everything was easier, so, but in a way, we had in our heads and we discussed a lot of those things. What are happening right now?
Yeah, it certainly has been a good roller coaster that we kind of predicted, and I think, you know, like maybe just going through like specific things, you know, that we looked into before starting a business, you know, and that came literally from all of that experience running client businesses. 1.5 years of research, you know, so I understood, I think, what, about 6 core things that you really should focus on when you're like choosing the new business. So number one for me was, you know, just huge macro trend upwards. You know, you want the world to be moving to that side. Let's say COVID or like AI, like these huge, huge trends that are moving the world. You want to be ideally aligned with that because it's so much easier to scale and grow business during that time, basically. Because the market is going to that direction instead of you trying to find the market, basically. The second one, I think, is really consistent market demand growth in the last 3 to 5 years. It kind of works together, but basically you can just go to Google search trends, just look for specific keywords, and you can very easily verify, you know, is the market going up every year for that specific product category or just product in general, you know, problem maybe, or it's going down. And I would definitely, once again, for the same reason, suggest anybody to focus on the markets that are going up. Then we were looking ironically into the low competition market. You know, we didn't want to be competing in oversaturated markets where you really can't offer anything new. There is no market loyalty, nothing. So basically, we were looking into a lot of like unsexy markets in a sense. We didn't want to start any cosmetic business, supplement business, because honestly, there's like thousands of them. But what else good you can bring in that industry?
Yeah, I think just a couple of notes on this one before we go into to the next points. Even though it sounds very simple when you mentioned that, but if we would think how long it actually took for us, because like it's not that you identify the brand and you like or let's say the category or so, and you start going and see, oh, there's you know, there's a very little competition. It's not like that. And I think why we're identifying these things, just because we would think back what type of clients we had from different categories and what we have gone through with them through the different stages. If there's a tendency that the whole category or a certain angle in the business that you have is actually going upwards. And it's yeah, like Google is definitely one of those, but we definitely looked into some other matters where, you know, what are secondary data that you can trust to really confirm your hypothesis, because like just one number is maybe like not really good enough because of, you know, it can be like an outlier and you don't really want to like trust that on one number. So there's definitely been more things, but I think that the trend, upwards trend, what gives you is actually the growth opportunity, like the faster growth of the whole category or like the whole industry. Because even though we have like several products, and we got them started with one, but at the end of the day, we were looking more into the category and to and so on. So that it's easier than reinventing something. Of course, you can figure out some new innovation, but the main challenge is what we have seen with some like inventing or like creating your own customers. It takes time and it's very costly. So long term, it can be like a very nice thing. If you think even about AI, it's not like it happened in the last like 2 years or so. It's been there for, I guess, like almost like a decade or so. But AI kind of invented their own kind of a product at the very end, like till it got really good to be released to the market. So if we hear, I guess, success stories, and we had some clients which were like inventing their own market or like had a particular uniqueness, but yeah, you need to educate. Eventually, if you run advertising, you need to educate the clients. That means like your CPM, CPAs, and so on will be higher, and it will take not like 1 or 2 years. Maybe it will take 3, 4, 5 years at least just to get more established. So the question is like, how much resources and capital you have in order to go through that. I think that's the biggest thing. And then as well, like regarding the competition, since we've been doing all of those analysis for many, many years, we know where to look, what tools to use, what things to look into, how to structure those analysis and so on. It's not that easy. Even though if you know how to do it, it still takes time. It's not like a day or two. It's usually like sometimes even weeks or months, just because like you do one step, and then you need to check, like, you know, that the product will be so. Maybe you'll need to look into manufacturing. So you get from manufacturers like the proposal of the products. Then you look to the margins. You're good enough, not good enough, and so on. So it's, yeah, it's a long process. But if you are able to identify it and so on, it can be very successful.
Yeah, 100%. So it's similar to like what Justin mentioned. Like I kind of tried to make them simple and short. It was realistically, you know, each of these points have a lot more depth, basically. And, you know, even if you look at like the next one, which is like the fourth one, huge available market. So I usually recommend, you know, if you really want to build a scalable brand, you know, your product has to be relevant to like 3-5 people out there. If you take random people on the street, 10 people, it has to be relevant to 3-5 people. Why? Because otherwise it will just very quickly exhaust your audience. So basically the biggest brands that I saw, you know, and we scaled and worked with, it's usually relevant to practically everybody. You know, think about, you know, everybody needs a dish detergent, for example. Somebody might need, like very specific need might be like specific type of bracelet, right? Once again, probably would not be a super scalable product if you think about it this way. And then, you know, another big thing that we looked in was the fifth one is ability to build moats and business complexity. And kind of Justin already, you know, mentioned this at the start, right? But realistically, with this comes good sides and bad sides. Good sides is it's a lot harder for competition to come in and, you know, copy you. And it just gives you more moats and, you know, ability to withstand, you know, market shifts and all these copycats that often pop up. We are kind of right now even facing that. Literally every month we are seeing new brands pop up, you know, try to copy us, try to copy our designs, ads, everything, you know, but we are not succeeding due to the fact that we are having this moat built up, you know, that we worked on for 2 years to build up. And the moat is usually complexity in the business. It's about combining a couple of things that are hard to copy and just being really good at them.
Yeah, and I think what's super important is to be able, when I reflect and we talk, we've been talking about it for I guess for the last like 3 or 6 months, that you need to understand where you are good at and where you're not really good at. So you need to be aware of your strengths and the weaknesses. So, you know, we know our strength and we know our weaknesses, and we now, you know, we discuss more, okay, like maybe the weaknesses we just need to do like good enough, or then need to invest and hire someone who is like really good in that and so on. But naturally, you know, we have our strengths. So for us, it's actually way easier to double down on strengths, and actually the result from our strengths will be way faster, way higher. So if you're capable of identifying and knowing that and so on, it could be related with product, it could be related with skills, it could be related with experience and so on. But like an angle, and what we have learned, especially in like in advertising, if you have a very specific angle, and we know how to advertise and sell that angle, it can be good enough. Just because if your product doesn't have like some sort of like uniqueness that no one else like in the market has, then you know, your products, all the products that are in the market, then they're related. Maybe you or have like some additional features that others don't have, but technically, you know, 90 or like 80% of like the whole product is similar. So it's very hard to say that I'm way better than someone else. But that 10 or 15% can be good enough if you know how to advertise and push that. So, and we have seen that again and again in our history of working with many different clients. So we're just good in that, and that's our strength, and that's where we, you know, we're doubling down on that strength.
Exactly. Just play to your strengths and use them to create the moats and competitive advantage. That's something that you're doing pretty well, I would say. Another thing, the last one I would say, is it's kind of like, once again, for us playing to our strengths, but we really didn't want a product that would be just one channel focused. Let's say, you know, I know so many DTC brands, we just run Facebook ads, and that's literally what is accounting to 80-90% of their business. But to be honest, you know, after working this in this performance agency, I've seen a lot of clients, you know, and we scale a lot of clients to like really huge numbers of Facebook ads, only then for something to happen. You know, algorithm changes, you know, competition changes, you know, price points of a product changes. And it's no longer the same. And, you know, I've seen a lot of businesses collapse and sometimes in a matter of months, you know, go bankrupt, have to downscale 2-3 times. And, you know, it's just constantly happening. That's why when we're like looking for business and product, et cetera, we wanted to be as much channel agnostic as possible. And we really chose about the product and the category, et cetera, that we could run Facebook ads, but Google at the same time. So at least we are like 50-50 diversified, you know, and now like definitely, you know, looking for another channels to add and quite a bit of other things to do. But basically, you never want to be just reliant on one thing.
Yeah. And I think it's a good time to transition a little bit as well, like what we chose and so on. So, and again, I want maybe if, like to stress this earlier than later, that there are like competition, which is really looking after us, and like some of the guys, we are able to figure it out who we are, what is the brand and so on. There's very small amount of those people, but the thing is that we're in a radar of a lot of businesses. Like even the old guys in the industry who've been doing that for many years are not really happy with us, and that we're taking over the market and so on. So and I think that's natural, and that's kind of exciting as well. But we need to be very aware of what we're saying, what we can or cannot say and so on, just because we have seen so many times where just like people come in, try to copy you, and like they're doing that already. But there is a competition which kind of is in our industry, and they'll definitely will figure it out or hear us talking about this. So we don't really want to spoil our secrets and how we were able to do all of this. So we'll try to cover, you know, our problems and other things, but we won't be really able to go into very specific things. Maybe like in a in the future. Maybe we'll write a huge ass, you know, case study or like a video or so, once we'll be able to do that. But I guess today it's something that we need to be a little bit more secretive and so on. But yeah, on the other hand, it's we talked a little bit about the product. The product is not atypical for sure. Even if talking just about the, you know, the average order value, like the average order value is about $10,000. So it's, as I said, it's like not a $100, not a $500. So it goes into, you know, thousands or $10,000 at the very end. So that was very interesting for us, first of all, because we have seen a couple of brands, not at this size, but still higher. We worked with several, or like we analyzed as well. So that caught our interest. Once we started to dig in more and more, like it got even more interesting, like as a challenge, is like how others are doing or how others are not capable of doing. And can we bring some sort of innovation from the skills we have in general? But yeah, it's large physical product that we're selling to the customers online. It's as we discussed before, they're like sexy and not sexy products. Definitely not sexy products. Not a cosmetic or anything that you would see like hundreds or thousands of brands like doing or selling. There's already talked about competition. There's definitely the competition out there. But the thing is that maybe most of the competition are not really good in what we are good. So that's the whole thing. It's just like, and we thought that we can take over the market or establish better, specifically talking about online, just because we're good at online. So the competition is definitely out there and there's like brands, but they're not really good with, in a way, what we do. Yeah, so that's kind of a sophistication of the competition in a way. And I guess I'll leave to Darius to talk more about the marketing side and some other stuff, but there's definitely some interesting parts there too.
Yeah, so I guess as you can imagine, you know, like the product is extremely big, heavy, and expensive, and it does create a lot of challenges. And we were like about thinking about this, you know, intentionally. So the challenge of expensive product, what are the challenges? You know, the biggest one is definitely attribution. How do you attribute the sales and a window from discovery till the purchase? You know, sometimes it might take 3-6 months for customers to make a buying decision between, you know, seeing the initial ad and making a purchase, so to say. So for us, like, we kind of went into this knowing this and understanding that our marketing edge, our marketing and the sophistication, etc., will help to propel us over all the competitors in there. So basically, we intentionally chose a very hard business model to replicate and run for our businesses in an area that we are strong in. And I would say it really did work out. Yesterday, I was checking the data, and we are right now like number one, the most searched brand in the industry. So that's super cool. Literally on brand search terms, etc., like in 2 years, we are like market leader basically right now. Then, you know, at the same time, like this product, what does it cause, right? And what kind of things does it kind of create as a moat, right? It's heavy, it's big. This means fulfillment is a nightmare. Like, we literally have zero dropshippers in the industry. Why? Because once again, it's not a dropshippable product, not something that you can just set up quickly. You really need to work, you know, dedicatedly, figure out 3PL solutions, maybe your own warehouses, shipments, etc., which is once again creating the moat about the business and making it harder for a lot of entrants to come in.
I think, as we said, what we're going to do is we're going to try and most likely focus more on the challenges that we face and so on, and maybe like some of the lessons that we got, or like some of the highlights that, you know, if you did do something similar, or even if you just run e-commerce and you got to get into like similar numbers or situations, that's just going to happen. And that's the thing, like we have seen that in our like the past clients or so. But there's a different like layer on a product in the business that we do here as well. So I think it will be interesting just to hear about the challenges, just because anyone, I guess, will be able to identify or think from their own perspective how this can apply to them as well. So the idea is just like for us to go, okay, like from the very beginning. So like what really happened in the first 6 to 12 months, And there's quite a few things that we want to cover. And yeah, that's the whole plan for us now to talk about. So as you may already understood, is that we have put a lot of time and investment. And at the very beginning, I can tell honestly that like we didn't come into the business, like we bootstrapped the business, but we didn't come into the business without resources because it's a different type of a game. And when you have less resources, talking about people, human resources, and financial resources as well. So what's super important to understand that we, even though we did the research, we were pretty confident. Still, we don't have like 100%, you know, we're not 100% sure. No one can be 100% sure. So we were pretty confident, but keep in mind, like we had people, we had understanding behind it. So we can dedicate some of our people from the other companies that we have and as well, like invest certain amount of money to prepare better for the actual launch. So we were not really, we were very cautious about the time and the money investment, and we were okay if the things will not work out to actually lose the money. So we were way more invested and prepared than like a lot of maybe smaller businesses that would enter without really any resources or the background. But things work out, and we caught the traction. And you know, from the very first month, we were profitable. With that came all the other challenges that we'll talk about. But definitely the interesting part was that we saw the traction, we saw that things are working and so on. And the first month we were profitable. And next thing we just needed to figure out, okay, what's next? What do we do? Like we need to start, you know, managing the fulfillment and the marketing. Do we increase? We don't increase. What are the other risks and so on? Because the volumes were already not small. We're not talking about like 10,000. We were already crossing six figures in the first month. I think it was like over 2,000 yep. to 200,000 or something, and then it climbed very quickly because the whole goal and why we entered this as well like business. I want to tell and say just because I say that to a lot of people when they ask, so what do you do with agency and so on, like et cetera. I always say, you know, things are great over years. We understood, we took our challenges and so on, but we came to the, you know, to the places where the challenge is not anymore the marketing, and the challenge is actually the client's psychology because we're not fully in control of the business. And we got tired of that a little bit just because I think, you know, over and over again, we just wanted to control more stuff. So we just decided, okay, like if we want to risk it, we're going to risk it. So that was the whole idea as well, like having our own business and brand.
Yep. So kind of like similar to what Justin mentioned, you know, like honestly, sales and marketing wasn't like a big problem once we started. We literally, you know, took a couple of channels, Facebook, Google, cooked some ads, launched them. And, you know, we needed to make some tweaks and to be really on top of, you know, what customers want. And I remember, you know, me like sitting first month, literally multiple times a day, you know, reviewing heat maps, session recordings, customer feedback, everything, making changes, you know, literally live to a website. And it's really led basically us to really fast growth. So within, I think, first 3 or 4 months, we are already at like a 1 million mark. And from there on, we just grew even more, basically. But at the same time, you know, like, as we understood later, like fast growth causes a lot of challenges, a lot of pain, etc. It's good everything worked out, but for sure that fast growth really caused us what I would call a hell run period where like all the hell was breaking loose and we needed to be online like 24/7, resolve a lot of issues, etc. And maybe Justin, you can like introduce the first one, right? Jesus, like I remember like nightmares from that one yet.
Since I'm always a little bit more closer to like the back end operations and so on, which is like people, management, finance, legal, and so on. We took off pretty quick. And that means that a lot of money is being, you know, processed. processors don't really like it because you're new and you're processing a lot of money. So it's a red flag, number one, the red flag for any payment processor. So if you are starting, you don't have a history, you'll definitely will be flagged for the payment processor, meaning that they will freeze your money. And then the question is like, what's next? Because what happened for us, we got about 1 million frozen our account, and it was about a 1 month that we couldn't really take that out. And we were like back and forth with the payment processor. And we thought even like going with the lawyer and whatsoever, but eventually we somehow got a handle of it. Like we started talking and so on back and forth. Like the whole idea was just like the KYC. They just like want to understand how the business operates. You need to whatever, send pictures, send more information and so on. So you're a legit business. You're not some sort of a scam that will take the money and like we'll go somewhere and, you know, for a nice holiday and so on. So, but yeah, like because understand that, you know, you need that money to continue operating. You need to order products. You need to pay, salaries. You need to spend on marketing and whatsoever. So the cash flow is really important. So if you don't really have it, like it's a pretty, you know, big amount, especially for the very beginning. It creates a lot of stress and issues.
I feel like I literally just put that in super nice words. Realistically, it was, well, a lot more stressful situation than you know, just freezing 1 million, because we have been bootstrap startup, right? And, you know, we have a lot of cost, people cost, etc., you know, and whenever we see like new sales popping in, they also get frozen. And, you know, at the same time, we don't know what's happening, why the money is frozen, because we're contacting Stripe. They're like not replying. And then, you know, if they reply, we say, hey, we don't know what's happening, why you're frozen, etc. And it took us, I think, even a little bit over a month to get, you know, any kind of like lead on what might be happening fully. Because we did send KYC basically photos to them, but for some reason, we just didn't receive these photos. So basically, we thought that, hey, we actually went through the process, everything is good on that, etc. But apparently, we just didn't receive the photos, and we're not able to tell this for a month plus. Basically, the only way how we knew it, I think it was like automatic reminder that we got, right? When we submitted things, you know, money got unfrozen, etc. But it's literally, you know, like very, very fine line. I think it would have taken like one extra month, we might have went out of business, basically. Because it's been extremely, extremely thin, because we need this money to pay the people, we need this money to order the stock and just, you know, keep the business operational.
Yeah, so that's definitely, especially for any e-commerce or highly growing business, cash flow will be one of the biggest challenges that you will have. So, you know, that's one part. If someone frees your money, or like they hold your money or so, you just like, it's not free, like you cannot really like use it or so. So you need to get the money from elsewhere or change something. So the cash flow, and that is just like one of the things in general. And it's all like maybe less the small thing as well. We talk with quite a few payment processors through the years already. And the other challenge with the large ticket products is, they don't like it as well, because the all the risk and so on falls on a payment processor shoulder. So it's not like a $5 or $20 or $50 thing; it's thousands. So if something happens, payment processor is responsible. So the bigger the amount that goes through the payment processing, the once again, that is the red flag, and that is another difficulty. Actually, I want to go back one step. Where we talked about the very beginning, and one thing I think what will be interesting to highlight that we didn't really cover, but I thought will be useful to mention, is when we talked about, you know, resources and finance and so on, as well, another thing that we did, and maybe something if you're starting, that's might be very useful to do, is actually if that's possible, create your own unique content, because this is what we did. It was not like a just computer-generated pictures or whatsoever. We were trying to figure out everything, but we got the product. We did our own shoot. We did like hired models. We had like I think 2 or 3 days fully dedicated for shooting and the production. So and then we were able, you know, to take certain angles because we do advertising. You know, advertising is like through. You need to communicate the motions. You need to communicate, like, what is that product about and so on. It's not just a minimum image or so. So we invested the time and the money into that just because we knew that it will play a big role. And it did. Definitely did. Darius can add a little bit more on that. But that was definitely one of the things that we focused at the very beginning as well.
Yeah, I mean, like content that works hand in hand with like Facebook marketing or pretty much like any marketing you do. It's the more content you have, the more angles, the more ads you can push out, etc. You know, and at first year we were investing a lot more into content. Now we just have like a huge library, so we don't kind of even need to do the shoots. So it's kind of just paying dividends year over year for us.
Yeah, it for us it's not as easy as well, just because it's not a small product. It's not like a small studio and so on. It's another challenge or so. But over time and so on, we learn and everyone learns. So it's just like it's part of the process. Yeah, but just to come back to the challenges and other stuff, like I guess we can, you know, definitely we had a very big challenge that like we got cut off from our own money. And as Zara said, you know, just like, and a new sale was coming. It's like it's not being released. So then you start questioning: should you keep selling, or like you should not? So that's definitely crossed our minds quite a few times. You know, with the fast growth, another part is you sold it. What's after? After is like production and fulfillment. So I guess no one really expected, no one really thought that, you know, we start selling, you know, large quantities. So we had definitely issues with the production and the product fulfillment. So naturally, there were delays, and delays are not helping anyone. So delays in production, delays in fulfillment, the first customers had to wait 6 months literally to get the product.
Yeah, just to clarify, you know, like we usually offer about like 3 months delivery time, so it was two times over that. So yeah, quite a lot of time.
Yeah, so and it was not helping because eventually customers are not happy. That will affect your financials, that will affect your brand, that will affect all the rest of the things. So you will feel that in definitely. Yeah, definitely, like what does it mean? So if you have customers, and we had this experience with some previous clients in the past, and some of our clients almost got bankrupt because of that, just because we scaled them so fast, then they fucked up with the production and delivery. And customers were saying like, so where's my product? And there's a delay. And I remember the conversations we had with our customer in the past who was in a similar situation. So now we were in the same situation. So what you want to do you want to try and take care of every customer. The issue was that we really like fully set up like with a team. We didn't maybe had enough strong enough team and the customer support, the right person, the right systems in order to, you know, to update the customers about delays or production or so, because it's still like a long period of time. So not updating customers regularly, that was one mistake that we did, and that hurt us for quite a bit. Then not talking with the customers, generally not necessarily about updates in general, not talking with the customers was another mistake as well, like as a lesson, especially with the lateness. So what you can expect, there's no communication. Customer have paid a huge amount of money. There's no updates. So there's like, is it a scam, you know? Is like where's my $10,000s? That definitely was a big issue, and that eventually affected, I remember, marketing. So
And I feel like ironically, you know, it's been a situation. We did start calling people then afterwards, like one by one, you know, every couple of weeks, if I just keeping them informed. I think really that was in the end what allowed us to basically pull through this period, just offering small refunds here and there, you know, for inconveniences. But yeah, like first couple of months, you know, we really made that mistake of just, okay, not putting enough resources on this. And ironically, you know, it's about that time that the competition started to notice us and, you know, really kind of become a little bit afraid because we saw how fast we were growing. And, you know, I bet, you know, people start calling them and starting, so what's the difference between your brand, somebody else's brand, etc., talking, discussing, etc. What we then started to notice that there started to happen some strange posts on Reddit, you know, about our brand, you know, that is not true, basically, in general. Some of it is, yes, you know, we have been delays, etc., but in general, it's been way too pronounced. And what we figured out later, that it's actually the same accounts that actually are shaming us, literally seconds later, are, you know, saying how good the certain competitor is. And then, you know, that competitor's founder answering in 3-4 seconds on the same comment, basically, which is for sure not looking very suspicious, basically. So we had a lot of competitors trying to capitalize on this kind of momentum that we had, you know, where we made the mistake. And we had a lot of competitors jump on this, basically. So we had a reputation crisis and we had to learn how to deal with it, how to apologize to people, how to call them. And slowly but surely, you know, we certainly, you know, first of all, alleviated the issues we had. Secondly, we really, practically, were able to recover from all of that, you know, damage we had.
So part of that was production. Support was definitely something that we needed to take care of. Another thing was the last mile shipping, as we call it. We had the wrong partners, let's say like that, who even increased the promised one, but they couldn't really fulfill, you know, their promises. Eventually, the costs were somehow, you know, pretty high and so on. We're not the experts in that. That really, because the products are not on really like small and so on, so the last mile shipping is pretty costly as well. Eventually, everything turned out pretty well. We were able to hire a very experienced person who have been in a similar category, let's say, and he has a long experience. About 20, 30 years in US and in a similar category. He brought his own network contacts. We moved to a different 3PL partner, the fulfillment centers and whatsoever. So everything, like, we had to suffer, but eventually it turned out well. We reduced the delivery time, we reduced the pricing of the delivery and so on, but it costed a lot, like the wrong partner selection at the very beginning. Again, like, either you need to be experienced and to have those partners from the previous businesses, or you need to bring in someone potentially who had those similar experience in a category or so, or the whole industry, the market, so they could bring their network itself, because it's not an easy, like, simple, like, you know, small package, like a box or so delivery. It's more complicated. So, and again, that's a complexity. We had our own learnings and so on, but if anyone gonna try to, you know, to do the things that we do, you're gonna face the same issue. So again, we knew about it. It's just like, it came, let's say, faster, and we were like maybe as prepared as we thought. So yeah.
Yep. So that was pretty much summary of our first 6 months. You know, good scale, good growth, a lot of problems. I would wish, you know, to say that there like has not been any problems later on. I think the next 6 months has been a little bit, you know, wavy too. The later one, you know, like after like the first 12 months, I think we got into a lot more stable footing, but there has been a lot of like ups and downs. That's something that we're going to definitely cover in the next, you know, podcast. For now, like, let's jump back into the next 6 months. What did happen afterwards, after all these problems have been resolved, etc.? I think if I remember correctly, we have recovered the performance and everything seems to be going good. But we were hit by off-season and, you know, performance tanked. You know, we started to scale ads. So, you know, with scale, you kind of start to run into some other, you know, just more marketing issues, you know, for example. So what is actually driving the performance? Is it like Facebook campaigns, Google campaigns? What? How do we attribute? How do you make decisions, etc.? Because our product is not standard. Like, something just to remind, you know, it takes people 3 to 6 months sometimes to make a purchase decision. This means you can't attribute it in just a normal way. So we had to figure out like custom attribution models. I think I literally went through every available attribution software out there. I tested it out. And to be honest, I've been extremely disappointed, you know, with all of them. And in then we kind of have our own custom solution now. It seems to be working fine. Not ideal, but once again, it's kind of like how I call it, you know, a little bit like sixth sense attribution, where you need to like to have somebody extremely sophisticated to understand it almost. It's not like black or white in a sense.
Yeah, I think the biggest for sure was for marketing and what Darius talked about and so on. I'm kind of involved in the marketing. We speak quite a lot and so on. I cover more like the other part of the business. Before I get into some other challenges that I guess was facing, I was like closer to them and so on. Is there anything else from the marketing point of view, do you think there's that you want to cover before moving to a different one topic?
I think that was like the biggest one. Of course, we had a lot of like small challenges, like, you know, organizing the shoots. And, you know, we have been lucky that on AdKings, right, we have a creative team. So we were able to organize the shoots, you know, sending the products to Serbia, where we have a creative team. It's amazing people, does amazing high quality production, etc., you know, with our in-house people. And we were able to optimize that, but nonetheless, you know, our product is heavy. It takes like sometimes days, you know, to ship, assemble, etc. So basically every single shoot would be like 3-5 days of work. And, you know, often, you know, just people cost would just stack up to like 12-15K sometimes. So the footage was like another big issue, you know, that took time to solve. And, you know, in Vend right now, we're using a lot of like 3D modeling, a lot of rendering, etc. But basically back then we were just doing a lot of shoots.
Yeah. Another interesting part, which we haven't really covered, but as we talk more and more, and if we look to the businesses that, you know, grow fast or are successful, there's usually two problems that we run into and they fail eventually is, I would say, is a product marketed fit. Like, and then if there's not product market fit for some time, you run out of like financials. And the second one is founders. So if founders are not on the same page, they maybe scale, they have success, they get, you know, to the next stages, but they are not aligned on their vision, on the needs, on the goals together and so on, there are conflicts. And we have seen quite a few of those. We talked about quite a few of those and so on. So so in the business, we have more founders, and we met each other while working together. So I think that's kind of a nice thing, just because we had an opportunity to work together and see how, you know, we perform in general. But that didn't really stop from having challenges. The other founders are coming, you know, from the different background. They are, let's say, older than us, you know, as well. That's a good thing, which, you know, from the experience and other stuff. But at the very end, you need to figure it out as founders why you're doing this. What is everyone's individual goal? Where you want to, you know, get it? Is that, you know, a short thing? Is that a long thing? Like, is that fulfilling, not fulfilling? And so on. So I am more interested in those type of things. Maybe I've worked in a similar environments where, let's say, culture and values and so on were very, very important for the organization. So I took the lead, and eventually what I started doing, I started like researching and thinking because we were just started running into challenges and to, you know, conflicts or like, and so on, and then just said, okay, like, we either need to figure it out or we need to, you know, separate. But I think what we have decided, like, we firstly need to talk more. It's just like to figure out the core thing. It's not like how we run marketing. No, how we operate the business, who is like taking which role, how we report, like we are different individuals. We have different habits and different experiences. So that comes into play for sure. So we started investing. I think that, you know, and we keep learning, but there was definitely a lot of very particular effort. And I prepared some documents, I think 10, 15 questions that everyone needed to answer. Then once everyone answered, all of it was shared together. So you read it, you understand. First of all, you think about what you really want, what is really important for you. But at the same time, others can read it and understand too who you are, what are your goals, how you operate, where you are as an individual, why this business, not something else. And then you start understanding, you know, it's like a relationship at the very end, you know, but it's accelerated in a way, just because like you spend a lot of time and you know, it's a very short period of time and you need to work every day, with one another. So it's not like, you know, your wife goes to work, you work as well. Maybe in the evening you meet each other for several hours and that's it. No, you work with these guys for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours every day. So it's a lot of time. So I need to figure it out that quickly. So that came into play for sure. And we keep learning and so on. We have our own issues, but that was a huge effort because that was stopping us in a way.
Yep. And honestly, I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing. It's fundamentally just, you know, us and you know, our founders, you know, just coming from different backgrounds, different experiences, etc. And it just takes time to align, to understand what everybody's dreaming about, what are their, you know, no goals, and you know, just how to work together the best way. I think it's just kind of like a part of a journey. And I think I was talking with one of the people that I really respect in industry. He's a lot more experienced, like worked and did like massive acquisitions, you know, in billions of dollars. And he mentioned that the number one reason why the businesses fail actually at a higher level is founder misalignment. So it's for sure the most probably important thing in a business is for founders to want to go to the same direction and be able to kind of talk through things, resolve things. It's just like relationships, similar to what Justin mentioned. Any successful relationship, you talk. And, you know, if you have a problem, you are able to find a solution, basically.
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's not a bad thing. I think what's very important to understand that for everyone, it's going to happen. And you need to be aware of it. And the other thing is, like, you need to be open. Not be afraid, you know, to talk about and not be, like, stubborn and, you know, put your ego in front of everyone else's and, you know, that's, you know, my way or, you know, no way. That was really important. You know, we can talk about vulnerability and other stuff and all the fluffy things, but it's super important because, you know, it's people, like, and every individual have their own needs. And if they don't know about it, you don't know about it, you don't talk about it, you'll have a problem. And it's not like an easy conversation, and it's not like a one-time conversation or so. But you need to be open to give feedback and as well, even more receive feedback and to change. Because if you don't change, you know, you become a bottleneck for the business and so on. So we have learned so many things. And as I said at the very beginning, the challenge that we had with clients in a lot of cases, it was not eventually about marketing. It was about the mindset and the way they were operating the business. And we've been struggling with that. And we knew that. So, and people were just not open or so. But we knew that's going to happen. And, you know, we just be open to look for solutions.
Good. I think there has been some more issues. I remember, like, there has been an issue with us hiring, like, third-party financial firm, right? So just maybe probably can comment on this a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. again, for any, you know, we talked about logistics, the product, support, marketing, every department, you know, have to operate in a certain way. And once the speed is very fast, and if you add on the top like a complexity, you have to untangle like that issue. And I would say we try to do financials because that was faster with third party instead of, you know, hiring someone in-house at the very beginning. We kind of covered with other resources and so on, but we focused and we thought, okay, we're going to hire, like how hard it can be and so on. And eventually it looked that it's relatively hard. There's like a lot of things that you need to keep in mind with accounting, financials, and other stuff. And we just learned that as well, like a little later once we had to fire them just because they were slow, they were not responsive, and so on. So we were just running into challenges. So it's not that it affected at that time, but the biggest issue is that it affects later because you need to do a proper accounting. You need to file taxes. You need to pay taxes as well, and whatsoever, and books need to be clean. So doing something not on an ongoing basis or like, you know, from the past month or so, it's way more challenging. And especially if the new people are doing without someone that did in the past, that's even more complex. So it took a lot of time. It took a lot of resources. It took a lot of like effort, but we just had to fire because they couldn't really understand how we operate and we needed speed and they didn't have that speed. So that's been a big issue, and that's definitely one thing that I would, you know, try to make sure my books and everything is clean and, you know, up to date from the very beginning. And if someone is not really up there, I'm just like fire and have someone else do it, just because that will be a pain in the ass and that will just you know, require way more time later down the line.
Gosh, so it's kind of like one of these like early investments that maybe a lot of people just miss out on and don't really think through, but it's actually super important. And especially if you're looking to sell a business at a certain point, you know, like clean books is number one thing, you know, that you need to have basically. I think another thing is, if I remember correctly, after like all that business complexity, I think really did backfire in a sense, you know, that we needed to have salespeople and, you know, just phone support in their general, you know, just expensive product, heavy, etc., which meant, you know, that we tried to maybe overcompensate a little bit too much on sales front. You know, I remember we gave like pretty big bonuses to salespeople. And once we started to scale up, we noticed that, hey, we're just paying unrealistic amounts to these people and it just no longer makes sense, you know, to pay them this. But we were not able to cut it off because fundamentally, you know, we are good people who are trained, we know the product, etc. And if you just suddenly say to them, hey, we are planning to pay you like half from tomorrow, it's just not going to work nicely, basically. So it's been a little bit of pain in the ass, but we just had to, you know, slowly figure out and deal with. But basically, you know, just looking into bonuses early and planning for scale, I think is another thing that maybe, you know, we should be doing differently, you know, like another project or something.
Yeah, definitely. It's again, you go and you learn and you know, the next you know, thing that you're gonna do, that will be the first thing that you're gonna figure it out. And that's what's, you know, how do we prepare today for any you know, new releases or the things that we do. We do way more preparation, financial planning, any other risk identification or so. Just because it will backfire, and that's like we have paid way more than we should. But since we really relied a lot on some of those people, it's hard to replace. You need to put a plan. You need to find the right people, figure out how to transition if you want to, you know, not necessarily fire, but if as Darius said, like if the new norm is pretty much the 50% of what you're getting today, for anyone else who will come in, they will be so happy to get it. But for them, getting a full, you know, 100% became a new norm. So going back to like a 50%, it's not something that will potentially take nice. So, and that's happened, and that happened numerous times. And eventually you, as a business owner, you need to you need to manage those risks. And finance is definitely at a forefront, just because, well, if you save there and you can get someone as good as or even better than what you have at the moment with the with the better pricing and especially more sustainability for the business, because you're going to use that investment, that money you'd like to invest back in the business to do more sales, establish someone, like maybe you need to hire some to the other departments to operate properly. So that's the normal part in evolution. And you need to continuously rethink and cut costs. Someone is not performing, you look where it is. If you're spending somewhere, you see how to optimize or so. Like, you are trimming, you know, that unnecessary cost as much as possible to be as lean as possible as well. So, we had some bad, experiences, and, from time to time you run into, like, the same mistakes. But saving on expenses is definitely a huge priority for any business that should be out there. You need to have routines and other things. So for sure.
Yeah. So I think, like, in general, like, summarizing last year, wild growth, fast growth, basically zero to about like 10 mil, etc., in revenue in a single year has been a wild ride. And to be honest, like, the problems were not marketing. Problems was just 100% about operation systems, etc., which normally, normal business probably would have 2-3 years to build out. We just, first year we already like skipped a couple of steps, basically. So that's why we faced a lot of issues. And, when I think about the next year of the next podcast that I'm going to talk, it's kind of to the same direction. But now, you'll see that there is like a lot more sophisticated, errors that starts to happen, from operation, business decision standpoint, how the business is operating. So definitely, wait for the next episode.
For sure. There is definitely a lot of more things to talk about. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoyed our comeback, and it was interesting and valuable. So we're going to try to continue doing more of those and so on. But it's good to share once again some of the challenges and of the lessons with other people, just because everyone else will go through the same stuff. It's just like, as we are doing this, it's just like on a steroids. It's just like way faster and so on. So I hope that was interesting.
Yep. So well, guys, see you on another podcast.
See you next time.